So this morning, continuing with our series on sharing God's heart, we're going to be looking at two scripture stories, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, that show us something about God's heart for life. The stories will be shared by readers this morning who will narrate and give voice to the biblical characters who found themselves in hopeless or lifeless circumstances until God intervened to renew life and instill hope for the future. As we prepare to hear God's word, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Enlivening God, breathe upon us and pour out your spirit among us so that hearing your word and trusting your power, we may rejoice in the life you are creating among and through us. Amen. Let us listen now for God's word, first as it comes to us from the prophet Ezekiel.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had been a priest in Jerusalem until invading armies burned the city, leveled the temple, and subjugated the people. He and many others were marched across the desert and settled in Babylon. There, they had to figure out how to practice their faith in new circumstances. And they wondered if they'd ever get to return to Jerusalem. Just when it seemed they had no reason to hope, Ezekiel had a vision from God. The vision revealed God's heart for life and renewed the people's hope. Listen now for God's word as it comes to us from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. We are reading from a translation called The Message.
The hand of the Lord came upon me. Well, it was more like being grabbed. And he sat me down in the middle of an open plain, strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, lots of bones. There were bones all over the place, a lot of bones, dry bones, bleached by the sun. And the Lord God said to me,
Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live?
Master God, only you know that.
Prophesy over these bones, Ezekiel. Dry bones, listen to the message of God. Watch this, dry bones. I am bringing life, the breath of life, to you, and you will come to life. I will attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You will come alive, and then you will realize that I am God.
So I prophesied, just as I had been commanded. As I prophesied, suddenly there was a sound, a noise, a rattling, and a rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, and then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them.
But Ezekiel could tell there was no breath in them. So God spoke to Ezekiel again and said,
Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath that God the Master says, Come from the four winds. Come, breath, breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life.
So Ezekiel did as he was told, just as God commanded him to. The breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a vast multitude, and God said to Ezekiel,
Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they are saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There is nothing left of us.
So then God said to me,
Ezekiel, you tell them that I will dig up your graves and bring you out alive. You are my people, and I will take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you will realize that I am God.
Then God continued,
I will put my spirit within you. I will breathe my life into you, and you will live. I will bring the people back to life. Then I will lead you back to your land, and you will realize that I am God. I am the Lord, and I have spoken.
Our second scripture lesson is from the New Testament book of John, where we learn that a man named Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, has fallen ill. Mary and Martha, the sisters of the sick man, send for Jesus, who takes his time getting there. When Jesus finally arrives, Lazarus has died and has been laid to rest in a stone-sealed tomb. Everyone has been crying, including Jesus. Listen. Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days.
Jesus said to her,
"Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out!"
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Can these bones live? When God planted this question deep in the soul of Ezekiel, I imagine the prophet sitting with it for a good long time. I imagine him looking out on a bleak landscape, pondering the plight of his people. I imagine him entering their suffering until God came to him with a vision, the image of a vast valley littered with their bones. I wonder, when he heard the voice of God say to him, "Prophesy to the bones," what helped Ezekiel step back from despair and see what God was about to do? Scripture tells us it was the hand of the Lord that came upon Ezekiel and the Spirit of the Lord who led him all around the valley where he got a good long look at the bones. There were very many of them, he saw, and they were very dry. His fascination with the bones brings to my mind the American artist Georgia O'Keeffe, who as a child would pick up the bones of animals, of cows and horses, pigs and sheep in the desert, and put them in a sack and take them home. There she would clean them one by one and hold them up in the sun, where they would gleam with a white light, pure and bright. Georgia didn't know why the bones pleased her so. I've heard that she said perhaps it was the quiet way the bones did their work, the years of being invisible, and then when everything fell away, the bones appeared, bright and beautiful. Georgia O'Keeffe loved bones. Through her artist's eye and with her artist's hand, she painted them to life again. And so I wonder, was it love for the bones that moved Ezekiel to speech? Did Ezekiel's heart break for their plight? And did he long for his people to know God's heart for life? Prophesy to the bones, Ezekiel heard. Fortified by God and motivated by love for his people, Ezekiel stepped back from despair to speak. These bones shall live. And there was a rattling and a remembering, and the bones came together, and there were sinews and flesh and skin, and there was hope. But there was no breath in them. The bones did not yet live. And here, right in this valley where we have imagined Ezekiel sitting for a good long time, where we have witnessed his struggle to step back from despair and rekindle hope, here we need the breath of God. The breath that in our gospel lesson called forth Lazarus from the tomb, unbound him and let him go. the breath that lifted Jesus from the cross to the grave to the sky, the breath that filled our lungs when we were born into this world, the breath that still moves through our lives, raising people to new life against all odds. This breath of God that we do not create and cannot control sweeps across the vast valley of dry bones, calling them to life again, rattling the bones so they can no longer just lie there on the desert floor. So let's talk about God's heart for life at Crossroads. In recent weeks, we've asked you to use your voices to tell us about what's important to you about Crossroads, about your life in Christ, and your hopes for our future. This weekend, your session received the Vital Signs Report that gives us a clear picture, a snapshot in time, about who we are and where we are as a church. In coming weeks, you're going to hear more about the report and how it's helping us discern more about where God is leading us. This morning, I want to lift up just one element of the report, a little taste of more good things to come. The assessment confirmed that there are indeed several very distinct theological cultures in this congregation, with none in the majority. And it's part of what many of you love about this place. The Holy Cow consultants told us it is very unusual to find such widely diverse theological perspectives and expectations about what it means to know and follow Jesus in one church. And yet here you are, held together by your love for the bones. In a world where polarities often become a reason for despair, this love that you have for one another and for our God is a very powerful force God can use to shape a hopeful future for our world through Crossroads. So here I want to offer you a modern-day story to help you think about what is so powerfully unique and potentially life-giving about you. The story I have in mind is the story of a king and a commoner who develop an unconventional relationship that God uses to bring hope to a nation at the brink of despair. King George VI of England struggled to overcome a speech impediment. Afflicted with a stammer that had plagued him since the age of 5, Bertie, as he is commonly called, cannot speak publicly. He's tried everything and worked with experts to no avail. Everything begins to change when his wife connects him with Lionel Logue, a speech therapist who uses unconventional methods. Bertie wants mechanics. He wants tricks to loosen his sticking tongue, to strengthen his flabby diaphragm. But it's more than mechanics, Lionel insists. The problem is deeper than that. Bertie has a much harder time going there. He doesn't want anybody poking into the depths of his past. He is afraid. He can't remember a time when fear didn't put a roadblock between his thoughts so eloquently formed in his brain and the words that just wouldn't come out of his mouth. Only when the power of this fear is overcome by the power of love will the king's speech flow unimpeded. Slowly, Lionel builds a relationship of love and trust, which is quite a feat when you are a commoner and he is a king. It takes a long time for this trust to grow between them. At one point, when frustration has built, Lionel blurts out, "Why should I waste my time listening to you?" "Because I have a voice," Bertie replies. "Yes, you do," his loving mentor replies. And then, when England moves to the brink of war, to the brink of despair. Finally, King George finds the motivation he needs to overcome his speech impediment. When he feels the need of his people for his voice, a voice that will speak to them and for them, when he finds love at the core of his own soul, he taps the most powerful motivating force any of us have at our disposal. Motivated by love for them, and fortified by Lionel's patient, enduring love, King George steps back from despair and delivers a speech that stirs the soul and rattles the bones of a nation. He uses his voice to bring them hope. Scripture tells us that the prophet Ezekiel discovered God's heart for life in a boneyard of all places, and that Jesus invoked the breath of God to call forth the bones of Lazarus from a tomb. For Crossroads, it may be in the stories that lie scattered around this place, in the unconventional relationships that thrive here, and in the love that compels us to use our voices to share God's heart for life. Wherever we encounter hearts broken by despair, sinews snapped by stress, bones that lie disconnected, bleached, dry, and lifeless. Today, at the table of our Lord, we will taste and touch God's heart for life in the broken body and spilled blood of Jesus. The last time we came to this table, Pastor Chris reminded us that this meal we celebrate in remembrance of Jesus is also a meal that remembers us. Like the bones in Ezekiel's valley, as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, the elements of our congregational culture are knit together. The connections among us are fortified by the self-giving love of Jesus. Remembered as Christ's body and filled with Christ's breath, not for our sake alone, but so that loving the bones, we may overcome our speech impediments to share God's heart for life. May it be so. Amen.